I was thinking about, so the guys in my little lunch group had a conversation a couple weeks ago about something that is just an extraordinary barrier to relationships, and we got to chatting about it, and I thought, you know, this really is a relationship killer. I mean, it, and if you're trying to be a friend, or if you're thinking about someone in the community, or you know, thinking about somebody you've heard about, rumors, or or even if you're just trying to have a good conversation with your spouse about something, or let's call that good conversation an argument, and you're trying to do that properly and in a godly way, let's say, one of the things that is almost impossible to do because of how we're oriented is to stop judging. And I thought about this, and I think that, I don't know, it's during the course of our conversation at lunch, I was thinking that, you know, of all the things that we try to talk ourselves out of believing in the scriptures, it is this, when Jesus said, don't judge, and then Paul said, don't judge, and then James said, don't judge, we still think that we can judge. It's like somehow we've come up with this workaround to judge, you know, and so I want to talk to you about, first of all, let's just say this together: don't judge. And if you've been a believer a long time, in your mind you're thinking of reasons that you should, and you're legitimizing it. So I'm just telling you, I already know that's going on in your head because I've been in your head. So I'm going to talk to you about some reasons why judgment is a mistake. I'm not going to get away from just the flat fact that James, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, who wrote the book, said, don't do it. So we can just start there with the old Bob Newhart phrase, just stop it. We can start there, but I also want to unpack to you the unreasonableness of it. And I've lived with a wife who doesn't know how to do what I'm fixing to comment on. She just doesn't do it. But I'll tell you the how she thinks about it. And because these are the arguments when I'm trying to judge and she's pushing back on me that she'll give me for not judging, they're the same arguments that God gives in the scriptures. So let's read some of these passages together. Let's start at the one that Jesus gives to start with. Judge not. Let's just say that together again. Judge not. All right, just one more time for the fun of it. Judge not. Because you're still going to want to do it when we leave. So judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment that you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I'm not going to unpack that a lot because there's another text that actually gets back to this. But we'll get back to that in just a second in the James text. So then he says, why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your eye? You hypocrite, he says. First take the log, and you hypocrite I'm not going to talk about. That's going to be talked about in another one of the passages too. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So the first principle that Jesus has, a couple principles in here. I'm going to tease them out in some of the other text. But this is the principle I want you to get out of this one. You can't see well enough to judge. Let me say amen. Because that's the truth. And you can't see well enough to judge like by a increment that is log and splinter. That's how bad your sight is. You can't see clearly to judge. And Jesus isn't saying in that last passage, so, oh, by the way, once you get the log out of your eyes, you'll be able to see clearly. He's like, you can't get the stupid log out of your eye. You'll never see clearly. And you, we don't see clear enough. I'm not going to give examples just yet. I'm going to give some. But that's principle one, number one. Judge not, because I don't see things well enough to judge. Somebody say amen to that. And you got that point, right? And for you guys that are texters, text that. Here's the second point. This one comes out of Romans 2. This is Paul. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on one another, for on whatever grounds you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same thing. Second reason you don't judge is you're guilty of the same thing you judge people for. So that's Jesus' language on hypocrite, right? You're a hypocrite if you're judging, because not only can't you see clear enough to judge someone, but you're also doing the same thing that you're judging them for. As a matter of fact, this is called projection in psychology, where the very things that I'm the worst at, I can see the best in someone else. And I project my vision, if you will, about my own problems onto someone else, judging them from the very things that I'm the worst at. And so that's what Jesus is saying. That's what Paul's saying here. He's like, dude, what are you doing? You don't have eyes to see. You can't see clearly, Jesus is saying. And then Jesus went in the word, you hypocrite. He was saying the same thing that Paul's saying, is like, you guys are doing the same thing you're judging people for. So stop it. Judge not, because you're doing the same thing. The next one is James. Listen, I love James. James also gets back to Jesus, and I'll show you this, but but this is a really big one. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. Now, that's a little bit of a head scratcher. I'll unpack it in just a second. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. And there's only one lawgiver and one judge, and it's the same guy who's able to save and to destroy. So who are you to judge your neighbor? Okay, so here's what he's saying about you're speaking evil against the law and judging the law. And Paul's going to get to this in the next passage that I'm going to talk to you about in the two passages down, the one I'll close in. But what he's saying is that, listen, so did you write the law of God? Somebody say yes or no. Yeah, you didn't, right? God did, right? So he's the lawgiver and he's the judge, right? And you remember this, when Jesus came and wrote the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus not only listed the law, thou shalt not commit adultery, but he said, you have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery, which, by the way, that was my law that I gave to Moses. But here was the law that was behind the law. I'm the lawgiver. Here was the spirit of the law that was behind the law. I don't even want the desire in your heart for another woman is the same as the act. And so what happens is that you see a guy and he's cheated on his wife, and so you disparage him. But your buddies taking second takes on every girl that walks down the street, and you're thinking nothing about him. And what happens is you're passing judgment on the law, basically saying that this guy's breaking the law and this guy's not breaking the law, when Jesus would say, you don't know sic'em, they both are. And so what does that mean? Well, I'm not the lawgiver. And I was giving the guys this example. So I'm a generalizer. There's a psychological trait clip this part. Remember, clip this out. I don't want to sound like I know anything about psychology. So just clip this out once we're done. There's a psychological trait called trait conscientiousness. So the conscientious people are like detail, don't ever want to say anything wrong or get anything wrong or whatever. People that aren't high in trait conscientiousness are like me. We just round things off. Now, my wife is high in trait conscientiousness, and I'm not. I'm really low in trait conscientiousness, and so here would be a discussion that we would have. We'd be in with a group of people, and and I'd say, "Hey, honey, remember last October when we went to the beach?" And she'll say, "Honey, that was the first week of November. It was the 4th. And so I'll say, "Now, here's the question. And indeed, that was exactly when we went. It was November the 4th because she gets things right. So here's the question. Did I lie?" "Well, you don't know. I may have known that it was November and said October, so then I lied. But I might have just been the guy that said, when I say October, I just mean sometime in the fall. Because I just round things off and don't care. And for me, October equals the fall." You know, or something along those lines. And then, of course, I didn't. But if you're sitting there judging me and you're sitting at the table, you'll go, "Lord have mercy. Look at that Bobby. He's just a liar. And his wife has to correct him all the time. I feel for her having to live with somebody like that." And what happens is that, think about what's happened, is you've passed judgment on the law of thou shalt not lie. And you've acted like that it means X instead of Y. Right? And so you can't pass judgment on the law. You're not the lawgiver. You're not the lawgiver. Okay, so listen to this next passage. And this next passage is a kind of a pastoral passage. And back to the last one just for a second. Stop judging because you don't know nothing about the law. And so why are you acting like that you can judge someone according to a law that you don't even know it because you aren't the lawgiver? Okay, so here's the next one. The next one, he says, "Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls." And the New King James says, "And stand he will, for his Lord is able to make him stand." The dude who he stands before. So this is the whole deal about ultimately, you don't answer to me, so I'm not judging you. If you answer to me, then I can judge you. But you don't answer to me. You answer to a master who died for you and who has saved you and who will make you stand. And so when we're stumbling around, and then Paul goes on to say, he says, "Well, then why do you judge your brother? Why do you belittle your brother? We all stand before God's judgment seat. You don't answer to me." Therefore, he says, let's read it together. Exactly. All right, I'm going to close with this one because this one kind of gets at what I've been saying all along. I love this one by Paul. I'm so glad that God added this one to the mix, because Paul's talking about his own conscience and him judging himself even. Well, you could think, because let me set it up. Well, I know if I was lying about the October thing or not. So you can't judge me, but I can judge me. Listen what Paul says about that. By the Spirit, by the way. "Moreover, it is required of stewards that they may be found faithful." You're supposed to be doing right. "But with me, it's a very small thing that I be judged by you or any human court." In fact, what does he say? "I don't even judge myself." Now, listen why he says why. "I'm not aware of anything against myself." He says, that's not what I'm saying. "My conscience is clear, but I'm not thereby acquitted." Just because I'm not aware of anything that I've done to sin doesn't mean that I'm innocent. What does he say? Because it's the Lord who judges me, and he's the lawgiver, and he's the one who knows the intent behind the law. And here's what he says. Listen to this great verse. He says, therefore, don't pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who's the judge, who will bring to light the things that are now hidden in darkness and will disclose the what? Yes. Yes. You can't, listen, I can't see your heart, Jordan, and you can't even see the thing. You can't even see the thing. And so, you know, keep your conscience clean, but guess what? You might be in trouble anyways. Right? Because we're just deceived and blinded, and if you don't know that, you haven't read your Bible yet. Bible says, one of my favorite verses, I've already told you this, but you know, it's, he who trusts in his own mind is a fool. That's such a liberating verse. Here's what it sounds like in country. You don't know Sikkim. All right, so here's my point about all this. Then each one will receive his own commendation from God. Listen, here's commendation, not condemnation, in case you were reading that through Baptist lens. Okay, listen, here's the thing. I don't know why I said Baptist. You could have said any, you know, most of the churches you grew up in lens. Let me say it that way. Yeah, there you go. I was judging. And so, that's right. Okay, so here's the thing. Don't judge, right? Why? Well, you don't have eyes to see. And you don't know the law. You don't know the spirit behind it. And you can't read somebody's heart. And you don't know what's going on with them. I mean, like, one of the things that you'll learn, I mean, you already know this. One of the things you'll ever learn if you've ever worked with troubled people or been around somebody who's going through something is you don't know nothing about their heart. And they may be deeply troubled. All kinds of stuff may be going on, and all you're doing is looking at their behavior. And you're condemning or passing judgment on their hearts when that heart might be functioning as best as it possibly can. Wounded and broken and barely limping across through life. And here you are, you know, I sure wish that guy would get his act together. And if you've ever been around the hashtag our people movement here at Crosswind, one of the things you realize is that, man, there's a whole bunch of people who've been through a whole lot, and I don't have a clue what's going on inside their hearts. And they just need to be loved and cared for, and they definitely don't need to be judged. And so this is my thing, man. And what I'm trying to say is that we have completely, and I know, like, there's a piece of me that wants to read you that passage that talks about Christians judging each other. To be fair. To show you the other side. But we have used that verse to excuse our gut judging so much that we have lost what Jesus and Paul and James were trying to tell us, which is stop judging. You don't have the eyes for it. You don't know people's hearts. You didn't write the law, and they're not going to answer to you anyways. They're going to answer to the one who died for them. And he's going to stand them up at the end. Hey, Chris, don't leave. Oh, man. Somebody get him. Bubba, run, get him. He didn't know he was late. I want to say hi to him. Okay. So, here's the deal. Oh, okay, I could have judged him. Dude, you want to come to church on time? You know, like, read Facebook if you're a real Christian. Okay, so anyways. All right, so. Or, to some of you, it's get off Facebook if you're a real Christian. You know, we're just all judgers. We're foolish. We're foolish to know, to beat the band, we are. And so, okay, well, that's an exhortation. Let me tell you how this unpacks itself in marriage and relationships. I know what you meant by that. You know, like I can read your heart or your mind. You don't know Sikkim. You really don't. You don't know what I meant by that. You don't know the nuances of it. You don't know my heart. You don't know where I'm struggling. I might have just been being a jerk and being defensive, and fair enough. But behind that defensiveness, I might have been fear and insecurity. And had you seen the fear and insecurity instead of the defensiveness, you might have loved me and cared for me instead of been mean to me. You feel me? And so what I'm trying to say, guys, is that, man, in relationship, especially in relationship, especially in the closest relationship, we have to back off. Back off the judging. We're not the God. We're not the God. We don't have eyes. We can't see this stuff. Not even close. We can't even see our own hearts. So love each other instead of judging each other. So here was the title. We didn't put it up on the thing. I don't even know if he's going to put it on the web. Probably shouldn't. Here was the title that I'd put for it. How dare you change the time for the Super Bowl? You know, what kind of Christians are y'all that give space for a Super Bowl? You're exposing your wicked, adulterous hearts. You know. Exactly. Let's say it together. Don't judge. Lord, we love you. And we're glad. We're glad that you teach us these things. It just makes sense when we see what you said about it. We get it. We get it. But boy, we are wired to put people on notice. We are wired to look at their hearts and weigh them in the balances and find them wanting. Lord, we pray that you'll show us our own heart enough to where we'll shut our mouths. In Jesus' name, amen.